Turn in your Bibles tonight to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Reading out of the New King James, beginning in verse 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted the bloodshed striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled. Tonight I want to talk about holiness. I want to together look at this awesome subject that God demands of us. Holiness is something that needs cultivated in our lives. Holiness is hagios, physically pure, morally blameless, or religious, ceremonially consecrated. You know, holiness is a position of importance, fulfillment, and completion. It's not a volunteer, well, I guess I'll be holy today. God commands us to be holy. First of all, it's important because we represent Christ. How many hours out of the day do we represent Christ? 24. How many hours of the week do we represent Christ? 168. We don't get any time off, lunch breaks, pauses, silas. We are forever and a representation of Jesus Christ. And I don't know of you of late what the Spirit of God is telling you, but he reminds me all the time of my witness, no matter where I'm at. And it's fulfillment because of God's plan from the beginning. You know, when you think about how God set this whole thing up, he allowed us to be here to represent him and be a representation of him completely, a mirror image of Christ here on this earth. That's a good definition of holiness. And completion because it brings his bride to a place planned before the foundation of the world. God's not making it up as he goes. He's got a plan. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24 says, "And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." You know, we are to put on holiness. It's something that we make effort towards. It doesn't come automatically. Our nature is not holy. We share in the divine nature of holiness, but our nature is becoming holy. We're in a process of sanctifying and becoming more like Him. Man's destiny was never to be in fame or fortune or familiarity. It is to be in the area of holiness. His destiny was and is holiness, a complete mirror image of Christ in all His glory, a reflection of all He has shown to all of His creation. God chose us to represent Him. Angels are representing us in helping us. They're ministers that help us, but we represent Christ. Angels desire to look into what you and I have. All the holy creation, all of the holy creatures in the heavenlies are looking to us. God is looking to us to be the holy, righteous, separate people. In God's activities and relationship, there's neither wrong desiring, wrong willing, nor wrong doing. Desire, design, and deed are one. We have a desire to serve God, and our deeds line up with that and together conform to the rightness which belongs to the perfections God offers us. We need to wake up and realize that God has already done everything that He needs to do. We are not afraid of the enemy. The enemy is afraid of us. Sin does not have anything in me. I am against sin. Sin is under my feet. Holiness cannot, it doesn't mean merely doing the right thing, acting out of obligation. Be holy as I am holy, God says. It means that not only are our actions lining up with what God desires, our inner motivations match that action. Outward action doesn't mean anything. It's what's coming from the inside. We may do something right on the outside and still not have our behavior, our holy behavior, from the inside. While the end product is of course behavior, the root then must be our holy character. The more we walk in holiness, the more our character is holy. Anything that is forced cannot be holy, nor can it be, for holiness is not a feeling. Holiness is not a feeling. It's doing the right thing and a state of being right. It comes from within. We cannot separate doing from being. In the light of God's watchful eye, the end doesn't justify the mean. We are to remain holy, especially in the world that we're living in right now, when information is at our fingertips. We need to keep our eye on God. God's going to work this whole thing out. He's going to work this whole thing out. And we're called to be holy. Our holiness differs from God in these ways. Ours is acquired from God. God said, when we have a relationship with Him, He shows us and shares with us His holiness. His is His essential and eternal nature. God is holy. He doesn't have to try to be holy. His efforts aren't trying to get holiness across to us. His very nature, by what He does, everything He does, from judgment to blessing, is holy. But ours has to be acquired. We have to practice holiness. And if we want to please God, the Scripture says, we'll do just that. Our holiness is transferable. In other words, we as you are holy, it drives me to want to be holy. That's why we disciple one another. That's why we have mentoring. That's why we follow. Paul says, as I imitate Christ, imitate me. Because that is a transferable thing. His holiness is not. He cannot be duplicated. There's never going to be another God. We're never going to get to His position of holiness, but we can be holy. We enjoy the holiness of the creature. He is the Creator. His holiness is well known. And fourthly, the holiness, we are a holy people. We are subjects of His kingdom. And He is sovereign. He doesn't answer to us in any way. So what does holiness mean anyway? What is the four ingredients to holiness will include, number one, submissiveness. To be holy, we've got to be submissive. And what do I mean by that? I mean, not only submissive to God, we should be submissive to God, but we should submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. God's going to work all that other stuff out. We may not agree with somebody. Somebody may be in sin. Somebody may be in this and that. We just need to pray for them. And out from underneath, so many times, out from underneath our robe of righteousness, the robe of judgment falls. And we judge people by their works, and we judge ourselves by our intentions. We don't know what's going on in somebody's life. We need to pray for them. So not only that, but submissiveness to authority. We as Christians stand on the precipice of chaos in this nation. If certain people get what they want and get in a position they want, but God still calls us to be submissive. He doesn't come up with a new plan because somebody's in there that's going to run this thing into the ground. We're to be submissive. Number two is humility. Holiness in man will include humility. Be humble. That means everything we get, even if we're doing everything right, it's not because of us, because the Spirit of God in us. We win because Christ is in us. Amen? We don't do things out of vainglory and strife. The Bible says that we're supposed to be humble. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, Scripture says, and He will lift you up. The way up in the kingdom is always down. Right? Humility. Number three is obedience. Anytime we hear from God, we immediately say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord, I will do that. Obedience is not deferred. Obedience is not waiting and seeing if it's the right, sticking our finger up, see which way the wind is blowing. Obedience is immediate. Hallelujah. And sometimes the obedient path is a lonely path because others don't want us to be obedient. And fourthly is reverence. Revering God, fearing God, having reverence in the Lord. When God and man are in a relationship, these traits are essential to man's side, for they inherently belong to His role as the creature and the subject. We must never forget that God is God and we are His servant. We don't ask Him to do things in a servant way. Jesus is not here to serve us. Yes, He was. We can read plenty of when He was a servant, but He's no longer a servant. God is God. He's Lord. He doesn't serve us. He's not here to serve our whims and to answer our prayers. He's not the butler that goes and gets the things that we want. He is Lord, and our submissiveness and reverence will grow our holy nature. Our perfect example is Jesus, of course. His holiness came from being a human in obedience to God. Scripture says that for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. Jesus endured all sorts of betrayal, all sorts of persecution for the sake of showing us that it can be done by a human being. The character of man is subordination to God, and He proved that. Subordination to God's will. It is dynamic devotion to the Father. Constant, fervent, and all-consuming. That's what Jesus was. The Scripture said He set His face like flint towards God's will, towards Jerusalem, even knowing what would end up there. And you know, in this day and hour, we've got to be that kind of people. God, no matter what is coming down, because we hear all kinds of things. If we're in the end times is going to employ many wicked people. It's going to, lots of terrible things are going to happen, but God is in control. He's got us in His hand. Righteous things will happen, but also holy things will happen. A few comparisons here. Righteousness is a horizontal relationship with others. When we're righteous with each other, we're in right standing with each other, that's a good thing. But holiness is a vertical relationship to God. We cannot be holy by hanging out with each other. That doesn't make us holy, that makes us good friends. When we go before the throne together, when we pray, when we intercede, we fast, we pray, we go before God, we're building that vertical relationship and saying, God, come, God, minister, God, speak, God, that kind of thing. That builds a holiness because in His presence, everything comes clear. Righteousness can be learned from men. Holiness is only learned from God. We can only learn our holy nature from the one that is holy through and through. We can be righteous all day long. We can do the righteous thing, and our insides are not doing anything. If righteousness were to gain any kind of approval by God, the Pharisees would have had it made. If righteousness would have been okay, we wouldn't need Jesus. Paul even said, listen, Paul talking about himself, he said, I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was perfect. As to the law, I was perfect. But he said, I was dead in my sins. I count everything as dung. So righteousness, if righteousness was to get it, if our outward form of religion would get it, that would be great. But it doesn't. Holiness can only be learned from God, from being in His presence, from worshiping Him, from honoring Him, for obeying Him. That's where our holiness comes from. Righteousness is my responsibility to people. I'm called to be a righteous person. If given the task of leading in any kind of a situation, I must make a righteous choice. That's my command from the Scriptures. It's the command from the law of faith in Christ Jesus. But holiness is my devotion to God. Holiness is my devotion to God. It's listening to God. It's hearing God. It's spending time with God. It's knowing who He is and knowing His voice. Very imperative that today we know the voice of God. There are many that are dressed and act and walk and talk like they're the Lord, but they're not. Paul says Satan will disguise himself as an angel of light. Righteousness is treating people like they should be treated. Man, the church needs to get back to that. We, in so many ways, we have made one sin worse than the other, and that's for another time. But holiness is treating God as He commands to be treated. I am God, I change not. When Moses came in touch with God, God said, take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. When He spoke to the Israelites, the mountain shook, the fire and the smoke and the voice of God spoke. It was powerful, see. He commands us to honor Him and to worship Him and to be holy before Him. It's treating God as who He is, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's above all. There's no question about that. And our reaction to that must be holy. Righteousness is essential to human government. We see everywhere where people are doing what they want to do and governments are falling apart all across the globe. The United States is right in line for that. When we start throwing out righteous acts such as standing for the national anthem and for doing those things, we are in trouble. We are in trouble. And when corporations and companies stand and say, we stand with them, they have a right to. No, they don't have a right to. Come on, somebody. Government, human government, essential to that is righteousness, right standing. The whole things our founding fathers founded this nation on was individual holiness, individual taking care of ourselves. Self-government. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Be kind. Serve one another. Holiness is essential to divine government because holiness reflects the glory of God. God's not just one of us. He's above us, above all. Righteousness produces social order. Thank the Lord. When we look back, if you look back at the correct history books, the ones that haven't been changed, righteousness produced this great nation. It was righteousness that produced this nation. Not a bunch of laws, not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It was righteousness. And people were subject to their own, again, self-governing. Holiness produces personal perfection. God wants us, He said, be holy or be perfect. The King James Version says, be perfect as I am perfect. What's that mean? It means that that is the goal that we are to set. We may not reach it. We may fall short of it. But God is there to forgive us. If we sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us. But He does not change the goal. Many people misunderstand the grace of God by saying God will let us get away with less than. No, God keeps us alive and fills us with His Spirit so that we can reach perfection. Not just try, not take a stab at it. But God puts within us, it produces personal perfection. And we run after that. Righteousness is my right experience with people born out of my relationship with God. The more I spend time with God, the more righteous my experiences are with other people. If I'm running on empty, I don't have anything to give to anyone else. Holiness, then, is my personal experience with God that affects my right relationship with people. My relationship with the Lord will run expectations very high when people come in touch with me. They'll know when they... That's why Paul said, follow me or imitate me as I imitate Christ. We are to imitate Him. We have many opportunities, especially in a nation that allows free speech, free press. We have many opportunities to cut people down to our size. We have much freedom to say what we want. I say, well, nobody can tell us. We can say whatever we want. We have freedom of speech. Well, how many know? That's in the world. That's not in the kingdom. It is an honor to keep a secret. It's an honor to cover over somebody with love until they get their sin okay. We condemn way too soon somebody. I've had many occasions to talk to people that are in deep sin. And if we just love them, they already know they're in sin. They need rescued. But they need loved. Righteous standing with them. And our holiness with the Lord. Because look how God puts up with us. I mean, how many times you got to tell us the same thing and we keep doing it? Don't do that. How many times God says, don't do that, and we do it? I know I'm probably the only one. All y'all got it right down to the... I'm the only one. No, all of us have done that. And we have to remember that when we're dealing with other people. Our relationship with God, as He deals with us, so are we to deal with one another. The nature of holiness in man, His holiness in man differs from righteousness in that holiness is communion between my heart and the heart of God. It is more than just prayer time. It's a broken and contrite spirit humbling itself in the presence of God. It's getting aside from God, with God, and just spending time with Him, waiting to hear His holy word to us. Sometimes it's just hours of just being quiet before the Lord. Some of my best time in the Lord is just spending... Sometimes I go away and I just spend time in a hotel room, walk out into the woods and just listen for God. Sometimes He doesn't say anything. He just wants me. His very presence teaches me. He didn't even have to say anything. That's holiness. Because His nature is holiness. Holiness is required beyond simple faith in Christ to enter the kingdom of God. The blood of Christ starts us on our way and makes heaven possible, but holiness is required to see God. This approach that we have taken to lead people to Christ, I fear, may end up not working out so well. Saying a prayer with somebody doesn't mean anything. I can say a prayer with anybody. I can bore them long enough till they say, let me say a prayer with this guy so I can get rid of him. Sure, I'll say a prayer. Jesus, come into my heart. And while you're coming in my heart, kick this guy out of the way so I can get... It has to be an inward change. It has to be an inward change. This revival that's coming, we'll be surprised how many church people are going to get saved because they've been in church so long, They're not any more saved than anybody outside. They've never had a relationship with God. Are you there? We make it way too easy. Without holiness, saying the name of Jesus and asking forgiveness of sin is just the beginning. We're introducing somebody to that first step. But the scriptures say in Hebrews 12:14, pursue peace with all people and holiness. The word does not say to follow righteousness, but holiness. Because righteousness is a result of the inward change. And we can fake righteousness, but you can't fake holiness. Holiness in man is only possible by man being affected by God. When we speak of holiness, we must be careful to qualify whether we are speaking of the holiness of God or man. These are two different moral creatures and natures. The holiness of God is far and above what God desires. For you know that afterward, verse 17 of Hebrews 12 says, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance. It's talking about Esau. Then it says in verse 18, watch what it says. It says, for you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burned with fire into blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. That was the mountain that Israel was called to after their rescue from Egypt. For they could not endure what was commanded, and if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I am exceedingly afraid and trembling, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel. What's it saying? It's saying that all of heaven has been open to us. It's not forbidden for us to come. And when we do come into that presence, Jesus is there, the mediator of the new covenant. The blood of sprinkling is there. And God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. And so God's goal in our life is to make us perfect. We dare not confuse the holiness of God with the holiness of man. Holiness is a cultivation of the divine nature, a supernatural morality, a divine sensitivity to right and wrong. That's what holiness is. It's when you get in a situation and you realize that to say anything or do anything untoward would put you in sin with a holy God. Holiness involves devotion to God, a desire to please Him and separate from the world's value system. It is a level of morality the world or those who are worldly within the church cannot comprehend. And when a blanket of holiness is over a nation or over an area, you know it. And we've lost that blanket. We've lost it. There is not holiness that comes. It filters down. It's like the oil that runs down across Aaron's beard. People set themselves to a holy nature in a holy way. That's what really revival ends up doing. Revival revives the church. And then the whole area, atmospheric change start to take place because we've allowed God to be God. And holiness is something that raises the level of morality to a place of perfection. We look back over history, there were times in past revivals when whole areas, sometimes whole nations, were caught up in this holiness. The holiness of God is the state of moral excellence. It means that no matter what happens, how many times have you read about revivals where whole towns, no bars, no nightclubs, no theaters, nothing was running. Everybody was in church or on their knees or crying out to God. We say, that's kind of weird. No, that's God. That's what He wants. As we're praying for that kind of thing, that's what God wants. When we see even the revivals of today. When I was in West Virginia, I saw kids that I don't know of anybody 20 years or lower that isn't like this. Or they got it in their hand. Even older than that. I mean, but kids, I mean, it's just part of them. They've got their earphones on. They got their thing. They're playing their games or what's their thing. When I was in West Virginia, I didn't see one cell phone. I saw kids on their knees crying out to God for hours. For Pete's sakes, when we were up here in last year, was it last year over in Goshen? We were in Goshen. We went to a meeting. The kids were standing for 3 hours. I didn't see any of them get their cell phones out. Standing. Can you imagine 16-year-olds standing for 3 hours? That's holiness. That's holiness, see? And it's so foreign to us that when we see that, sometimes, maybe, just maybe, it's why we have revival meetings once a year, because we can't stand holiness any longer. Everybody's really holy during that time. When 9-1-1 happened, a whole city turned holy. For Pete's sakes, Congress stood on the steps of Congress and sang Amazing Grace. How many remember that? Stood on the porch of the Capitol building, on the steps of the Capitol building and sang Amazing Grace. And even sang that saved a wretch like me. That's holiness. See, that's when God rips that whatever veil there is, whatever veil because of sin, rips that veil and comes down and says, this is how it's supposed to be. I command you, I demand holiness if you're to see me, if you're to benefit from my presence. It's holiness. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for His mercy drops. Thank God that He reaches down and helps us. Thank God that He overlooks our stupidity. But His command is for us to have holiness to a point of moral excellence. The holiness of man is a state of being morally perfected. God help us. God help us in this hour. I'm so blessed to see it happening all over the place. I'm meeting with other pastors a couple times a month, and we end up spending more time than that with each other. And I'm seeing guys that have been in the ministry for years crying out to God and seeing it. We're seeing it coming, and we're so excited about it. The holiness of God that will wash over our land once again. I think it's a miserable existence to the one who strives to get along with man without the benefit of a holy relationship to the Creator of man. I think it's a lost cause just to get along with one another. Religion says we should get along. Relationship with God says we're one. We're one. Amen? Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12 in closing tonight. 1 Corinthians 12. Somebody took it out of my Bible. 1 Corinthians 12. This really speaks of the holiness of God, because Paul was speaking in 12:1. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jump down to verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of us, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. We are called to be the body of Christ. Verse 27 says that we are the body of Christ and members individually. So God has called us to this holy walk. And holiness is something that's a bar to be raised and to meet. I thank God that God never lowers the bar, but He always takes care of me. He always takes care of me. When I fall short, He loves me. He pours His grace on me. The blood of Jesus forgives me. But when I go back out to look at the bar, when I go out to look at that, God, where do You want me to be? He says, this is the perfection that I command you to walk in. I'll give you all the tools you need. I'll give you the presence. I'll give you the angels. But that is the place where you need to be. And if we are going to see sustained change in any place, in churches, in cities, in counties, in states, in nations, in the world, we're going to have to do that. God is not going to lower it. I sometimes wish He would, just so we could get it over with. God, just do it so we can get it done and we can be with You. But God knows that He set that thing and He says, I've given You everything. I'm holy. Be holy as I am holy. And if the church will do that, and that whole 2 Chronicles 7:14 is you could emblazon holiness across there. If My people who are called by My name will humble themselves, humility being a part of holiness. If they'll humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, righteousness. Then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And I perpetually will be in this place. That's what we're looking for. So Father, thank You for the holy call that You have on our lives. Thank You, God. There's a call that You have for us to walk in the holiness that is Your very nature. So teach us, God. Lord, if we have to go back to the beginning in some things, take us back to the beginning. Lord, if we've got to talk about the elementary principles of Your Word, do that with us, Father. Each and every one in this room, God, I pray that as we reach towards that holy calling and walk in holiness, that we would realize it in our very lives. Thank You for those that are being saved. Father, thank You for the young ones among us. Thank You for the teens upstairs. Let them see, Father, our holy walk. And God, may it spread like wildfire throughout this nation. God, we do pray for each and every Christian that calls themselves after Your name. Father, that there would be a standard again raised. And you know what, God? It means that there'll be a lot of house cleaning. It means there'll be a lot of repenting. But God, I believe that Your purpose and Your plan is to have a holy people. Matter of fact, Your Word says, God, that You're coming back for a bride without spot and without blemish. And so to reach that, to get that, for adorning the bride for the return of the bridegroom, God, cause us to be holy. Father, forgive us of anything that we've made compromise with, yielded to. Search our hearts with the searchlight of Your Holy Spirit. Cause us to be holy in every way, in our walk, in our talk, in what we think, how we act. And Father, we won't forget to set aside time for You, that we may look more like You every day. That's according to Your loving kindness and mercy, we pray. Amen.